Tonight we'd like to share Psalm 46. Not the entire psalm, we're going to get through the first three verses. But I trust that the Lord will speak to our hearts. The historical setting of this psalm is very interesting in light of last Sunday morning's message. It's very possible that this great psalm, Psalm 46, was written and sung following the great victory that God gave to Jehoshaphat and the people of Judah that we studied in 2 Chronicles 20 last Sunday morning. Now, we're not absolutely sure about that, but many scholars believe that that is the historical setting for this psalm. Another possibility is that it was written during another invasion at the time when Jerusalem was being invaded by the Assyrians at a later period in history when King Hezekiah was on the throne and Sennacherib came against the city at that time. Although we can't know for sure, as I said, it's very possible that this psalm goes right along with the chapter that we looked at and studied last Sunday morning. And in that chapter, we saw that after the victory, the people blessed the Lord, and they returned to Jerusalem with joy, and they got their musical instruments together, and they praised the Lord, and they sang. And it's very possible that this is what they sang: God is our refuge and strength. There's something else that's very interesting about this psalm. One of the greatest hymns of the Christian church is based upon the words of verse 1. The great reformer Martin Luther wrote a hymn that we've been singing ever since. And you all know it: a mighty fortress is our God, our helper he amid the flood. And that, of course, is based on these words: God is our refuge. God is our mighty fortress. Some have even called Psalm 46 Luther's psalm. And there were times when Luther's soul was cast down, and he was discouraged and in great distress. And at times like these, he would turn to his friend Melanchthon, Philip Melanchthon, and he would say, "Come, Philip, let us sing the 46th psalm." And I trust that tonight we might learn to sing the 46th psalm. It begins, "God is our refuge." And the emphasis is on the word God. That's the word that comes first in the sentence. God, Elohim, the all-powerful Creator, is our refuge and our strength. The word refuge means a place of shelter, a place of protection, a place of safety. God is like a mighty fortress into which a man may flee and be absolutely safe. When trouble comes, we can flee to God. In times of crisis, we have a refuge. We can go to God and we can be absolutely safe. It goes on to say that God is our strength. He is our strength and our song. We not only have a refuge, but we have an unfailing source of strength. Elohim, the Almighty Creator, is our strength. Not only is he our strength, he is our helper as well. We're told that he's a very present help in trouble. In times of trouble, in times of crisis, in times of distress, God is our helper. He is a very present help in trouble. It's very interesting the way this is said in Hebrew. It goes something like this. In the middle of trouble, in the middle of the trouble, God will surely be found. In the middle of the crisis, God will surely be found. So when the trouble comes, you don't have to say, "Where's God? I can't find him." No, when the crisis comes, you will find him. He's right there. He's a very present help. He's abundantly available for help. In the middle of the trouble, you'll find God. And you'll find him as your refuge. You'll find him as your strength. You'll find him as your helper. Now you need to take verse 1 in a very personal way. You need to let these words apply to you. And remember, you want to learn to sing this psalm. You need to apply it to yourself. God is my refuge. God is my strength. Put your own name in that verse. God is my helper. God's protection and God's strength and God's help are for me. Claim those words if you're a believer in Christ. When the crisis comes, I'm safe in God, and I'm strong in God, and I found God to be my helper. Make it personal. Make those words apply to you. Now, verse 2. Therefore, we will not fear. What a wonderful verse. Therefore, we will not fear. We will not be afraid. Whatever might happen, we will not be afraid. No matter how serious the crisis, we will not be afraid. But remember, you can't really claim verse 2 unless you have first mastered and appropriated verse 1. Why will we not fear? Because we have understood that God is our refuge, and we are confident that God is our strength, and we're convinced that God is our helper in the middle of the trouble and in the middle of the crisis. Therefore, we will not fear. We will not be afraid. We can have an attitude of complete fearlessness no matter what happens. Now, look at verse 2 again, and we'll go on to verse 3. Therefore, we will not fear. No matter what happens, we won't fear. Though the earth be removed, though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. Think about that. Selah. In other words, the psalmist thinks of the worst possible thing that could ever happen. And he says, even if the greatest crisis imaginable were to happen, we still will not fear. Now, frankly, if there is anything that seems to be firm and that seems to be immovable and stable, it's the earth and it's the mountains. And normally, we do not expect the earth to change or to move. When you leave the church tonight, almost anything could happen. You might go out in the parking lot and find a flat tire. Or you might go out in the parking lot and discover that one of the brethren didn't see your car as he was parking, and put a big dent in it. That happened to me once on Christmas Day. But you know, you'd be shocked if you came out And where all the cars were and where the parking lot was, there was nothing but a big hole. And the earth had moved. And 2 miles below the surface are all the cars underground. Now, almost any crisis could happen to you tomorrow. And we ought to expect almost anything. Like, isn't that one of Murphy's laws? If anything can go wrong, it will. But you know, you'd be absolutely shocked if you saw Mount Higby shaking and moving along the earth on its way to the sea. We usually expect mountains to stay where they are. And I can think of no greater crisis than this, that the earth be removed and the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. And yet, even if that were to take place, you would not have to fear, because God is your refuge. And your safety does not depend upon the stability of the mountains. Your safety depends upon the stability of an immutable God who never ever changes. And once again, you need to claim the truths of this psalm for yourself. I need to make it personal to me, and you need to make it personal to you. No matter what happens, no matter how great the crisis, I will not fear. I will not be afraid, because a mighty fortress is my God. Now, I want you to notice the sentence structure in verses 2 and 3. It says, we will not fear though. Right? We will not fear though this happens, or though this happens, or though this happens, or though this happens. Now, here's what you can do. After the word though, you can put in any trouble or any crisis that may happen to you. Let me give you some examples. Though the OPEC nations raise the price of a barrel of oil to raise it $50, I will not fear. Though, see? Though I have to wait in line for gas 3 hours, I will not fear. And Russell Burge called tonight, and he actually did that in Waterbury. It's pretty tough down there, I guess. It was something like from 7 in the morning to about 11 o'clock. He had a wonderful opportunity to be still and to know that I am the Lord. Isn't that great? We're so rushed in our day and so busy normally that God is finally slowing some of us down so that we'll take time to meditate on His Word and to pray and spend time with Him instead of rush and go from one thing to another and forget the Lord. Though I can't seem to catch up on my bills, I will not fear. Though the nation's trucks stop running, I will not fear. Though the supermarkets run out of food, I will not fear. Though I don't know what the future holds, I will not fear. Though the doctor tells me I only have 6 months to live, I will not fear. Though our nation turns farther and farther away from God, I will not fear. Why not? Because my safety does not depend on the price or the availability of gas. My safety does not depend upon my health or on what the doctor says. My safety does not depend upon how much money I have in the bank. My safety does not depend on this nation's trucks or supermarkets or any such thing. But I'm safe because God is my refuge. He's my safety. And when I'm in trouble, God is right there. In the middle of the crisis, God will surely be found. Gas might not be available. Food might not be available. Money might not be available. Heat in the winter might not be available. But God is abundantly available. And He's available to help me. And He's available to strengthen me through any crisis. He is my strength. And I might not find much gas or other things that we think are necessary, but I know that in the crisis, I'll find God. He's a very present help in time of trouble. And then finally, a verse that you're familiar with. We'll skip down to verse 10. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am your refuge. Be still and know that I am your mighty fortress. Be still and know that I am your strength. And be still and know that I am your helper in time of trouble. And when you know these things, then you'll be able to say confidently, no matter what happens in the days ahead, no matter what crisis may come, no matter what trouble might come upon us, or tribulation, I will not fear, and I will not be afraid.